You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Colt at the River.
This morning, I'm going to piggyback from what I started last week. Last week, I started talking about spiritual leverage. Because many people I deal with have many big mountains in their life, and you have to use the spiritual leverage that God gives us with our faith to overcome those mountains. And today, the leverage that I'm going to get you is the kind of leverage you need to remove huge mountains in your life. Not just difficulties, but huge mountains in your life. And I want you to always remember this will help. We use our faith, we declare our faith, we act on our faith, but God's the one that's doing the heavy lifting. We're just doing our little part, but that little part will make the difference between success and failure in your life. Amen? So if you would, I want you to look up on the screen in Psalms 137, verse 3 and 4, and I want you to notice what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Say amen, everybody. Amen. Desires of your heart. Now, I want you to remember this. Desire comes from what you want. It doesn't necessarily come from what you need. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You may need to eat because you're undernourished, but you may not want it because you got an upset stomach. So here, when he talks about desire, he's talking about things that you would want. And it's all preference by the fact that he says, delight yourself in the Lord, which is a reference to putting the Lord first in your life. And if you look back in Isaiah, it talks about obeying the Sabbath, putting that before your pleasures. He says, if you do that, God will in fact give you the desires of your heart. Can you say amen, everybody? Now, I want to show you something from this that I think will really help you in this area. I see many people go after desires that they desire. Many Christians do that. But in many cases, they're not going about it the right way. You have to pursue it according to God's will in order for him to back you up in that. It's conditioned on that. Now, here's the part that I want to share with you that's so powerful. How in the world can I receive the desires that I have from God? How can I know that I know that I know that it's going to come to pass in my life? It's always based according to his will. In fact, I see many people in the church, they've had good desires, a desire for the loved one to get saved. A desire that they would overcome this illness, a desire to prosper, get ahead, so that they're able to help other people and not just their family. And I've seen many people bury that desire because of discouragement. Because I tried, it didn't work. I prayed for so-and-so and they weren't healed. I was fully in expectation, but it didn't happen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to dig those dead desires back up and how to stir up that desire. Because if you lose the desire in between the time of believing and actually receiving, you won't get it. And some people have given up on loved ones. They've given up on the vision and dream that God has given them in their life, because they've had so many setbacks. I want you to write this down. This is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. John gives us a key to this. He says, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In other words, as long as I find God's word on it, I found God's will on it. So anything that God promises in the word of God that I find his word on is his will. Amen? And the Bible says that God hears those promises, and the confidence that I have comes from the Word of God that I just found it in. Amen? But then he makes this statement. He says, and if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. But the Greek word there for know is not the normal one, gnosko. It is the word oida. It's where we get the word see. So I want you to see this truth. He said, all right, if you ask something according to the will of God, I know it's the will of God. It says, if you know. In other words, if you can see yourself possessing it, you can rest assured that it's going to come into your life. And that's where a lot of people fail. They ask for it. They know it's God's will, but they can't yet see it in their life. And that's why the Bible says that we're to pray that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. In other words, the eyes of our imagination being enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Once that happens and we can see ourselves possessing it, we have all the assurance of the world that we're going to get the breakthrough that we're looking for in our lives. And some people don't understand that you cannot keep the desire alive until you continue to see it. If you get up in the morning, you can't see it, the desire begins to diminish. But if you can see it possessed in your life, see yourself handling it, see yourself enjoying it, see yourself rejoicing, if you can see that blessing alive in your life and you remind God of it and say, Lord, thank you for giving this to me. I see the day that I'm going to walk in this. I see the blessing. My family's going to be saved. I see them worshiping God with me. When you do that, it keeps the desire alive, and it gives you confidence that you have literally received from God in faith whatever it is that was your desire. We ought to shout right now and say, praise God, that's free, I'm ready, hallelujah. Now, I want you to see that because some people, they ask, but they don't see it. Let me give you an illustration and maybe make it simpler for you. How many are familiar with that mechanism that you hook up to a light and you clap and the light turns on? That's for old people, whatever, but people have them. Amen? Well, I bought a, and what it is it's activated by sound. In my house, in my garage this year, I bought a laser that paints a big red cross, and when you drive your car into the garage, as soon as the garage starts turning on, the sound activates it. And it shines in the right place that you're to park the car, so it's in the exact right spot. But I want you to notice it's activated by sound, but you can't benefit from the sound until you see the laser X. In other words, you got to not only speak the word in confession, you need to see what you're confessing. You got to see yourself going over the top. You got to see your wife chasing you around the house. You got to see your kids obeying you. You got to see, come on, hallelujah. You got to see your vision coming to pass. So the Word of God is activated by your voice, by what you say. And it creates an image that you got to home in on if you want to truly receive what you've confessed. I've known people for years that confess the Word, but they can't see it in their life. You got to be able to see it, or the confession is not going to produce the results that it wants. Amen? You got to believe you're the head and not tail. You got to believe that you're more than a conqueror. You got to believe that you're an overcomer. You can't just say you're an overcomer. You got to see yourself as overcomer. You got to see yourself taking on that challenge, running against that. Come on, amen? Not turning back, believing God. Hallelujah. You got to see it. So you got to say it and see it. If you do both of those things, you've received it. Amen. And then later it'll manifest in your life in some different way. Then who knows how God will do it, but he'll do it. Amen. Now I want you to look at this verse because I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you the love of God. The love of God is one of the greatest leverages you have to get victory in your life. If you don't believe in the love of God towards you in the way Scripture says, you're not going to have the leverage that you need. But if you can believe God's word according to his word, how much he loves you, it's going to give you great leverage. Let's take a look at this. You'll find this in John 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, this particular translation, I think, is very weak. Because what it says is, if you're not bearing any fruit, God then is going to, in this particular translation, going to remove the branch. He's going to cut it off. The Greek word that's used there doesn't mean to cut off. It means to lift up. I said to lift up. When you're not bearing fruit, God is not going to cut you off. He's going to lift you up into the light. It's used in the gospel when God told the man that was crippled, take up your bed and walk. In other words, lift it up and walk out of here with it. Amen. Or talks about taking up serpents. That's lifting them up. That's not running from them. You're following what I'm saying. So the word then in some of the translations is a little bit vague. But he's not talking about you'll be cut off. He's talking about the fact that if you're not bearing fruit, what God will do. And we know it's somebody that's a believer because it says they abide in him. So when God abides in you and you're not bearing fruit, God will lift you up into the light. Whew. In other words, the light of the gospel isn't just it isn't designed just to condemn you. That's not the case. It's designed to show you the root cause of your problem so that you can be free and to give you revelation in his word that enables you to repent. Let me give you a case in point. How many remember the story of the woman that was caught in adultery? She was brought to Jesus. I think it's interesting. The man wasn't even around. They picked on the woman. Amen. So they drag him before Jesus because they know Jesus doesn't want to stone anybody. He wants to heal everybody. Amen. And so they're trying to tempt him, whatever. And the Bible said that they were about ready to stone her. And they said, well, what should we do, Lord? Because you said, you know, in the law it says to stone a person that did that. Jesus kneels down. We don't know if he wrote down their sins. I think maybe he was writing down their sins. Yeah, so and so. And they're all standing around looking. They say, well, how did Jesus know that? And then it says, from the oldest to the youngest, they walked away. You know why? Old people have more sins. Yeah, young people, you need more time to sin more. Amen. You got some, but not as many as the old people do. Amen. So they walked away in shame, and they weren't willing to condemn her because they were condemned themselves. And Jesus says to her, he says, where are your accusers? And she looked around, they're gone. And then Jesus said this, I don't condemn you either. Did you hear me? I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Now here's what a lot of people miss. What is Jesus doing? He's shining light on her life to give her the power to change. See, when you run into people in your life, and particularly in this woman's case, why was she an adulterous woman in the first place? She is probably an adulterous woman in the first place because she was abused either by her father or maybe by a husband, then maybe he had a girlfriend, whatever. There was some reason why she was in the state that she was in. And she was in such a state that everybody in the community looked down on her. So it was, you got to see the reason why people do what they do. The gospel sheds light on it and then sheds revelation on the truth that will set the person free. Listen to me carefully. Sin in this world is a result of one thing: shame and feeling unworthy. Every person in this planet that feels unworthy and shameful, not worthy, that individual is going to be tempted to sin. They're going to sin more and more and more and more. So what God did is he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for the sins of the world. And in taking our sins upon himself, God then imparted to us his righteousness and his worthiness. So that now every believer can say, I'm worthy, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. I'm righteous, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. You take a child that is rebellious. Why are they rebellious? Because of their low self-esteem. Maybe they've been in school, or maybe they've been bullied, and maybe their teacher made fun of them, or maybe their friends made fun of them, and they don't feel valued in themselves. And so their rebellion comes from the fact that they don't like themselves, that they, you know, hate themselves, and that's why they're acting the way they are. But when you come to Christ, God imparts to us everything that the devil tried to take away from us with sin. He imparts to us worthiness. He imparts to us deservingness. He imparts for us righteousness. He imparts it to us, praise God, so that I can stand before God, not on what I've done, but what on Jesus did. And I can freely receive the grace and the blessing. Woo! I love that. But that's what God does. And that's what he did through Jesus Christ. And what I want to encourage you today is simply this. That is the greatest leverage that you have as a believer, to know that God doesn't consider you worthy because of what you did. He considers you worthy because of the one you believed in. You're worthy to get healed. You're deserving to prosper. Why? Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. Now, I want you to write this statement down, and it's a little heavy, but I want you to meditate on it after the church. It's powerful. I'm not worthy because of what I do, but I do what I do because I'm worthy. I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because God made me righteous. Hallelujah. In other words, if I'm acting righteous, it's not to be righteous, it's because I am righteous. I'm not doing something to be worthy. I'm doing it because I believe I am worthy because of what Christ did for me. Come on, praise God. Did you catch that? That it's a play on words, but it's so true that so many women, men, children, they feel unworthy. They feel undeserving. They feel condemned. They feel all that. And all that does is keep you locked into sin. But the free gift of Jesus changes that. You can take the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst, and they give their life to Christ, and they can walk out of that church with confidence. Praise God. I can receive from God, not because I was perfect. God reached down to save me when I was a reprobate. He reached down to save me when I wasn't serving God. He reached down to save me when I wasn't thinking about God. And I'm going to stand in that faith that I have, and I'm going to receive whatever I need in my life. So your mountain may be huge, but you're not going to do it if you don't feel the worthiness of Christ in your life. See, I don't know if you know this, but once you become a Christian, you're no longer by yourself. The me, the real Jack, has Christ inside of me. I have the DNA of Christ inside of me. It's not Jack anymore. It's the DNA of Christ inside of me. I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus inside of me. I can do things that normally you can't do because of Jesus inside of me. And so this, to me, is a leverage that people have missed out on. 1 John 4:16 makes a very powerful statement. It says this. It says, we believe in God's love towards us. He didn't say, I believe in how much I love God. He said, I believe in how much God loves me. Now write this down, and this is something to memorize. Jeremiah 31:3 says that God has given the believer an everlasting love. Everlasting. Do you know what an everlasting love is? It means that he'll keep loving you even when you're not deserving of that love. He's going to love you even when you've backslidden. Even when you're at home, should be at church watching me on TV, he's going to love you. Amen? In other words, his love is unending to those who accept him or those who accept Jesus as their Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think you appreciate that yet. I told my kids this when they were smaller. Being a pastor, you can't have rebel kids. And I told my kids growing up, I said, listen, we're going to make it as fun as possible in the house, but you can't be fornicating in my house when you get older with kids and all that stuff. Can't be taking drugs. Can't be in my house unless you go to church all the time. And you got to live right, period. But I said, if you don't, me and your mom will love you forever. Well, the door will always be open for you. There you go. We will never, ever not let you come back. That's what I told my kid. You know where I got that from? God. God's at the door saying, I've been here for 29 years trying to get you to shape up. I'm not leaving because I remember when you gave your life to me and I begin to move in your life. I'm not leaving until you let me in. And God will be there your whole life. He loves you. And I think sometimes people don't have the leverage they need because they think, it's too late for me. I messed up too much. I'm not good enough. God can't use me. God uses you, not because you're good, but because God's good. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise, everybody. That's so powerful. Love your children that way. Love your wife that way. Love your husband that way, because men, sometimes their bad side shows up. And remember this, next time your husband comes home and he's cranky, yells at the kids, yell at you, don't just attack him. What you need to do is do what the Bible says, Galatians 6:1. It says, when a brother stumbles, it says, go to him and consider yourself, lest you stumble and sin. In other words, put yourself in his shoes. Maybe he was on the job and the boss tore into him. Maybe he was on the freeway and somebody in a BMW cut in front of him. It's a private joke, yeah. You don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you what, if he's mean, if he's trouble, something happened to him. And you got to love him, praise God. You just got to hug him. Baby, I love you. You're acting like an idiot, but I love you, praise God. All right, moving right along here, praise God. I'm not going to do anything until we give God praise right now. Can we do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. I think of all the times I've messed up and whatever, and God's love is just still there. Still continually tries to reach you and help you in your life. I'm going to show you a truth in the Bible that it's very controversial verse, and I don't mean to be controversial, but there was an essence of these verses that the Holy Spirit wanted me to say to you. And it starts in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in the 4th verse. I'm going to quote these verses, and then I'm going to read to you the other verses that I want you to focus in on. He says, those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and had become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and had tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, it is impossible for them to be renewed again. Now, how many have heard these verses? Okay. He says impossible. I want you to look up on the screen here at what the verses that are said after that statement. For the earth which drinks and the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs, useful to those by whom it is cultivated, receive a blessing from God. In other words, he's saying that when you're acting on the word, you're going to get blessed. But he says, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected. Now watch this. And near, say near. Say it again. And near being cursed. Now, near being cursed isn't being cursed. If something's near, it's not there yet. Amen? Keep it up on the screen, please. Near being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now, remember this in 1 Corinthians 3 when it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. It says, each person's works will be tested with fire. And if the person's works that are tested with fire, if they survive, it says, they'll receive a reward. But then it says, if the person's work is burned up, they'll suffer loss, yet escape through fire. So he's not saying they're going to go to hell. He's saying they're just going to lose a reward. They're still going to go to heaven. What I want you to see from the text is this. There is a place in your life when you go down a road, the wrong road, for long enough that you'll get to a place where you can't change. And when you get to a place where you can't change, you rob yourself of the future blessings that God has for you. In other words, you get to a place where you can't change, and the mountains in your life just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you end up going home early, dying, whatever, and missing out on everything that God has for you. And that's what the Spirit of God wanted me to tell you, is there is a place of hardening that can rob you of the success that God has called you to. Have you ever seen somebody with poverty thinking? They were taught by their parents, and they were taught by their parents, and they were taught by their religion, even though it's not gospel, and they have a poverty thinking. No matter what you tell them in the Word of God, no. Money's evil, people with money is evil, that's just how they look at it. You can get to a place where you can't change the way you think. And here's what I've learned. I've been studying the Word a long time. The longer I'm a Christian, the less I know. In other words, the more I study the Word of God, I realize how deep it is. I realize I haven't even gotten to the threshold here. There's revelation that's way beyond. Think about what Paul said in Scripture. He said, I heard things in heaven I can't even tell you. It's not permitted for me to tell you. What in the world is he talking about? I want you to understand the Word of God is revelation and revelation and revelation and revelation and revelation gives you dominion. It gives you leverage. It gives you the ability to overcome and prevail in your life. And what I'm trying to do is dig up the hard soil right now. Maybe you're on that borderline where you just, I don't know if I can ever change. No, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get out the old pickaxe. Praise God. I'm going to break that down. You can overcome that mountain in your life. Just change what you think. Just change it to the point that you've been renewed from it. The renewing of the mind isn't education. That's not it. The renewing of the mind is the word metamorphosis. The change a caterpillar goes before it becomes a butterfly. Once he's a butterfly, he's never a caterpillar again. When you renew your mind, you've changed. You're not like the little creepy caterpillar anymore. You've changed. You were designed to be history makers. We're designed to move huge mountains. But we got to say to ourselves, listen, I'll never be in church enough that I learn the end of it. Some people go, oh, I know everything, Pastor. I don't need to go to church that much. I've heard everything before. You are stupid. The Word of God is broad. I mean, the more I study, the less I know. And I like what the Word says. It says the entrance of His Word gives light. And then it says He gives understanding to the simple. So you don't have to be educated. All you have to do is be a believer. There you go. Yep. And the entrance of his word gives light. I've seen people build multi-million-dollar television ministries simply by one revelation in the Word of God. I've seen people do all kinds of crazy things just with one revelation. The truth is this: God wants you to keep renewing your mind. Every time you come on Sunday, oh, I've heard that before. Shut your mouth. Say, no, there's more revelation. There's more revelation. There's more revelation. And God can teach you things that will give you that leverage that you need to overcome and prevail in your life. And everybody that loved Jesus said amen and amen. Praise God. Ephesians 1:12 tells us that salvation is progressive. It says, in him you trusted. Afterwards, after you heard the truth and the gospel of your salvation. Think about that. So also, it says, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit and promise. Oh, glory to God. Which is the guarantee of our inheritance. Oh, man. And the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Don't you see the verse is showing us that Christianity is not, oh, I got water baptized, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm done. It's a process. It's a process. Who you are today needs to change into someone greater later. And you're not going to get that unless you take serious the Word of God and get renewed by it. And everybody that loved Jesus said amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Now I'm going to bring you back to this idea. This will give you confidence. This will help you believe in things that you desire in your life. What I'm about ready to tell you. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this. While we look not at the things that are seen. In other words, we don't focus in on what is visible right now in our lives. But at the things that are unseen. In other words, the things that you can imagine in your heart are yours. For the things that are seen are temporary or subject to change. Your financial status is subject to change. Your health is subject to change. Your future is subject to change, but your vision isn't. Your vision that you have in God has the ability to control that which is subject to change. Now, remember the text that I gave you in 1 John 5. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, or if we see ourselves possessing what we've asked for that we know is the will of God, we know that we will receive what we believe for. Now, here's the key. Here's the key. This is the exact thing that happened to Abraham. This is powerful. In Genesis 13th chapter, Lot had just separated from Abram. And God said to him, he says, lift up your eyes now and see. Go through the land, and all that you see, I give you. In other words, as soon as you see yourself possessing it, it is yours. Bible said, believe you receive. How do you receive? By seeing yourself possessing it. That's how you see yourself. Oh, glory, glory. That was the key right there. In other words, he heard God. He knew God's will. But he didn't receive it until he saw. And you can't receive what you pray for until you see yourself. I'm fully embraced confession of faith. I love it. But I've seen people confess things for years after years after years and never happen. Because confession by itself won't do it. Confession is to create an image of what you see yourself having. And if you can't see the image in your life, you can say you're more than a conqueror, but if you see yourself as a loser, it's not going to work. You can see yourself as a head or say that you're a head, but if you see yourself at the bottom, it's not going to work. You got to see yourself what you say. And that's the key to confidence. In other words, I don't have confidence because what I'm doing. I have confidence because I have confidence in Christ in me and what he did for me. And his word, the innocence of his word, gives light to my vision, gives light to my desire, gives light to it. And as soon as I see it in the light of Scripture, I know I've received it. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. I said, God is good. I said, we're more than conquerors. Now, I'm going to show this to you from a secular perspective all the way to Christianity. Is that okay? What I'm teaching you is practice in the world without the Holy Ghost, without the forgiveness that Christ offers, without it. And it works even without the power, but not to the degree it works with power. I'll give you an example. Muhammad Ali, famous quote, if a mind can conceive it, my heart can believe it, then I can achieve it. Jim Carrey wrote a check every night for $10 million before he was famous. 3 months later, he got his first check for $10 million. Arnold Schwarzenegger practiced this and became the world champion bodybuilder. He used the same practice that made him governor of California. Now, these are natural people without the Holy Ghost. Imagine what a man of God can do that has the Holy Ghost, that's anointed by the Spirit, that all things are possible. You can get healed of cancer. You can get healed of diseases. You can get supernatural increase that people go, I never saw anything like that in my life, because there's no limit. There's no limit with God. There's no limit with God. God can break through barriers. God can bring revival. God can change people so wonderfully. But it's the same principle. The difference is we have the Holy Ghost and Christ is inside of me. And I've got the Word of God to illuminate whatever my desire is in the Word of God and His supernatural power to bring it past in your life. I had a couple in the church that tapped into this, and she said this to me. She said, I always had a hard time seeing things. But she said, I practice it, and I started to see my kids in church with their hands raised up, worshiping God. It wasn't soon after that the kids came to church. Hands up, worshiping God. Are you listening to me, church? My good friend Lloyd and Glenda Everard, been board members for years. Lloyd, one time when he was starting out, he got a picture of a boat that he wanted to buy. And when I say a boat, it's a ship. It's a ship. And he believed, and he looked at that picture. And you know what's so crazy about the story is that the exact boat that was on the magazine was the one that came up here and he ended up getting it. The exact boat. That's a pretty weak applause for such a great, victorious God that we have. Woo! So let me wind this down then. Mustard seed faith is the type of faith that you have to believe in something that is sowed in the ground. And once it's sowed in the ground, it's invisible. You have to be able to see things in your life that are not visible yet. And if you can do that, Jesus said you can remove every mountain in your life. You can get every breakthrough you want in your life. And here's the reason why it works the way it does. You remember the Bible says to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, give everything you got into it. Isn't that right? Well, psychologists say this. They say that the mind, or the memory of the mind, if say that you just learned how to snow ski, you went up in the mountains and you learned how to snow ski, that's in your memory. And the more you do it, the more confidence you have, right? because you got experience in it. Psychologists say this, that when you imagine yourself doing something, the body can't tell the difference. In other words, if I see myself possessing something, I get this experience that my body, I got experience in it. This builds your confidence. This builds your ability to keep doing it, praise God. But if you don't see yourself possessing it, you don't have that experience. How do you get the experience and the confidence you need to overcome a marriage problem? You got to start seeing your marriage doing better. How do you get the experience that you need in business? You got to see yourself succeeding at the business. It sets you up and you're loving God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Christianity is easy when you do it in faith. It's hard when you do it by the flesh. I said it's hard. But if you do it in faith, it is easier in your life. Because what I'm preaching to you this morning, many of you got huge mountains in your life. I mean, you got Mount Everest mountains. You're not just going through the valley. You're in a crater. You're in like Grand Canyon. And you need to move those mountains with leverage. I'm giving you the leverage that'll make it work. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, yes, you can. All you got to do is remember what the Word of God says. When you bridle your mouth, you're also creating the right image in your life. You know what a bridle does? A bridle, you turn a horse by pulling the bridle, and the bridle causes the horse head to move. The head looks where the mouth is pulled. If the mouth is pulled to the right, the head looks to the right. When you confess the word, you look at the right things. You see the right things. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet right now if you would. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you so much. Now, here's something real practical. People say, oh, Pastor, I can't help it. I keep going back and forth. Always remember this. You can only do one thing at a time. In other words, you can only have one image at a time. You can either see yourself successful or see yourself defeated. You either say you're winning or say you're losing. You can't do both. You can go back and forth, but you can't. But whatever you do once is what you get. So just do one thing. Just start saying what the word says. Start seeing what the word says, and everything else will be to the side. In other words, you only get in trouble. You only get in trouble when you don't use what I'm preaching. Take heed what you hear, talking about the word, with what measure you use it, it's measured back to you. Well, I practice at church. Yeah, with what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. How many are going to get in shape if you go to the gym once a week? Huh? How many get in shape spiritually if you only practice the word once in a while? You got to get up every morning. Praise God. I'm going to speak to that mountain every morning. I'm going to get up. I'm going to see myself victorious. I'm going to see myself overcoming. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to start my day in God's victory. I'm going to start God this day in triumph. I'm going to start this day with a victory that God has given me. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to walk in the blessing of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.